Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Maiocco.
And today on the 49ers Insider Podcast, we have a special guest, Adam Gase, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, who was a head coaching candidate for the 49ers 2 years ago. He talks about that process, and he sets the record straight on what actually occurred that led to Jim Tomsula being named the head coach of the 49ers. Adam Gase takes some time out of his day today to talk to us on the 49ers Insider Podcast. And I'm joined now by Miami Dolphins coach Adam Gase, fresh off the Dolphins' second playoff appearance in 15 years. In your first season, Adam, a great year for you, and thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
No, thanks for having me.
Adam, you continue to be someone who's talked a lot about around these parts in the Bay Area based on what happened 2 years ago when you were a finalist for the 49ers head coaching job, the job that ended up going to Jim Tomsula. Can you take us through that process and what was it like to interview with the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, I felt like it was a great experience for me coming into that year. A couple opportunities from 2013, which I wasn't nearly ready at that time, and going into 2014, you really can grow a lot season to season, especially in those coordinator positions. So many things happen from week to week. Your experience is really the best way to say it is your perspective of things is really enhanced because you're close to being in that position that, you know, I was working for John Fox at the time. You start noticing things that he has to go through on a day-to-day basis. So you're almost putting yourself in, well, what would I do in this situation? And heading it, we were the number two seed that year. So we had the bye week. I was able to interview with four teams at the time. So it was very, San Francisco was my first interview on that weekend. And it was something I was excited about just from, I was there 1 year in 2008, which was something that was a great experience for me. And, you know, I still keep in contact with a lot of people that were there, that are still there, and met a lot of people that I've worked with after that season at other places. So it was an organization that was very, very close to my heart as wanting to try to help. And, you know, that was kind of a great first step that weekend. And then getting that call back to have that second interview was exciting when we were done playing. That was a long process. You always hear about how many hours those interviews are, but until you go through an 8-9 hour session with one other person and you're discussing all kinds of matters, it's a grind.
So who took part in that first interview? Was that Trent Baalke, Jed York, Parag Marate?
Yes, and Dr. York was also in that first one.
Okay, and then the second interview was with whom?
That was just Trent and myself.
And that was in Denver. That was would have been on the Monday night before the announcement was made who the next head coach would be?
That was, we played, I don't remember the exact day that it was on. I remember us spending all that time together, and then that next day was, yes, that next afternoon is when they hired Jimmy.
Well, you know, there's been a lot written and reports and speculated and talked about. I got to ask you flat out, were you offered that 49ers job or were you not offered that job?
I felt like I was in good position heading into that next day. I did know it was down to two of us. I think a lot of people felt that same, that I'm correct on that, where it was down to Jim and myself. And I felt like going into that morning that I had a good shot and felt like my interview went really well. But until you get that call from the GM, you know, nothing's ever 100%. So heading into that morning, I felt good about it, but you know, never got that final word. The last call I got was that, you know, they hired Jim.
Yeah. I reported that it was never offered to you, but maybe it was kind of suggested that you were the guy. Is that accurate?
It's hard for me to say that that's 100% accurate, because of, until you hear from the guy that's actually making that call, who makes the call and who's the head coach, he hadn't called me because he was traveling. So, you know, I really felt that we had a great meeting and felt that I was in a good position, and you know, just it went the other way.
So in your eyes, it was the general manager making the call on the head coach.
Well, I knew that Trent was the final decision maker in San Francisco heading into the interview process. And, you know, when we first met, when it was all four of us in there, that was explained to me right from the get-go that Trent ran the organization as far as who was getting hired for the head coaching job. And, you know, I knew that going in.
So what do you feel about Jed York and Parag Marate, you know, who have led this particular coaching search right now? What do you feel about them and how responsible they are for that decision that ultimately landed Jim Tomsula the job?
Well, when I was in there in 2008, when I was there, Jed was just starting to really take kind of control of what was going on there, you know, the overall leadership. And I felt like I had a great relationship with him. I had a great relationship with Prague, and Scott was still there. Scott McLuhan was still there, and had a great relationship with him. I had a great relationship with Trent. So there was a lot of positives for me going into that. One of the reasons that I was attracted to that job was I wanted to try to find a way to be a part of what they had really got going there. And the main reason was because of Jed. I wanted to do whatever I could to help him, and felt like he knew that I'd be invested in that organization because of those, you know, between Jed and Prague, my relationship with them was really good when I was there previously. And that was why I was heavily interested in that, you know, getting that job, because I wanted to do something to help those guys. And, you know, with them there, that was very positive for me.
And was it ever expressed to you that you would have to have Jim Tomsula as your defensive coordinator in order to get the job?
I don't remember that being really a conversation. I know we spitballed a lot of different scenarios of how we were going about putting the staff there, because it becomes a little tougher than what I think a lot of people realize. It's not as easy to get coaches as you think, because guys get locked into contracts. You know, you always say, I was always told when I went in these interviews, don't promise something you can't come through with, because you can't control some of these things. And you kind of have to have an idea who's available, who is available to get out of their contract, or who's up on their contracts. That's why sometimes you see some of these college coaches being able to elevate to the NFL, because the availability isn't as good as you would think sometimes in the NFL. And, you know, we were lucky here in Miami to be able to get so many of the guys that we wanted, because it was just almost a perfect storm where a lot of guys were on staffs that were let go, and a lot of guys had contracts up. It was a perfect storm for us. In that situation, they had a really good defensive staff. They had a lot of guys on offense that I had worked with in years past. So it looked like there was going to be some holdovers because of the relationships, at least that I had with a lot of those guys. And it was really just trying to figure out what was the best fit for the entire group at that time.
Were you at all concerned about Jim Harbaugh being let go? And was that something, did you want to know more about that? I mean, after all, we're talking about a coach who, you know, had gone to the NFC Championship game 3 years in a row and one Super Bowl appearance. And after an 8-8 year, there was that parting.
The hardest thing for me was Jim was somebody that I respect a lot. I've developed a relationship with him, especially over the last few years, and then being here in Miami, really with our owner's connection to the University of Michigan, that's been something where I've been able to be around him a few times, and I've always enjoyed it because he's a great football mind, and I love the way that he handles his business and he motivates his players and figures out ways to get his players better. But I didn't dive too much into that because a lot of times there's always reasons behind, you know, what happens within an organization that is really things that we're not there every day. So you don't know everything that happened. And, you know, sometimes, you know, everybody has a different side of the story. And I was trying to go into that situation with a clean slate and ask my own questions and focus mainly on, you know, what I needed to do to get the questions that I wanted answered.
There's a mystery man in this whole process that a lot of people here talk about, and that's Parag Marate. I believe when you interviewed there, he was the president. Now he's the chief strategy officer and executive vice president of football operations. What were you informed about, or what do you know about what Parag's role is behind the scenes with the 49ers?
Well, when I first got there in 2008, Prague had a different role, and I spent a lot of time with him, and you know there was a lot of dialogue between us because I was an offensive assistant, so I wasn't really focused on one position on the offensive side. So there was a lot of great dialogue. I know I had a lot of curiosity as far as what was going on with just some of the things that they were trying to do that may have been a little bit different at that time with some of the because analytics really hadn't busted through as it is now. And they were one of the teams or one of the few teams that were trying to figure out ways to implement that through the evaluation process. And I thought I was very curious about it. There was a lot of great conversations, and there was a lot of times where I just had questions, and he was a great guy, a great resource to be able to go to and kind of ask those type of questions. And, you know, he did a great job trying to develop a staff there to really use that as part of that college evaluation, free agency evaluation. And, you know, it was a good tool for us to be using at that time because I don't think there was a lot of teams that were really using that. I think it benefited us as well because we had a really good run in free agency that year. There was a lot of players that turned out to be really good players, not only for us that year, and I know our result wasn't great that year, but as time would tell, there was some good free agents that came out that year that were very impactful for that organization for a long time. And that was really where my relationship with him developed. And then over time, we had always kept in touch. And when you go to the combine, the Senior Bowl, you go to all these events, you're able to see these guys and you keep in touch with them and keep developing that relationship over time.
So you still have a strong relationship with Jed and Prague?
You know, whenever last year at the Super Bowl, I saw those guys at a couple of events and had some great conversations with those guys. And I always enjoy seeing those guys and being able to talk some football with them and just kind of see how things are going in their life. And, you know, just really it's just normal conversations you would have if you saw one of your friends, you know, out at some a concert or event or some kind of, you know, something that would be going on you know, in a Super Bowl type environment.
This year, one of your assistants, your defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, was, you know, his name was around in that head coaching cycle. And of course, you know, it was pretty clear that the Denver Broncos were locked into him, but the 49ers were also interested and would have interviewed him had he not gone to Denver and just stayed there. Did you give Vance any advice on whether it was a good fit for him or whether he should interview with the 49ers if that opportunity came up?
Both our feelings towards that towards the 49er organization is really close to the same, because we were so young when we got opportunities with the organization. And, you know, we wanted, you know, when I had my opportunity to interview, and if he would have had the opportunity to interview, you know, we were invested in ownership and a lot of the friends that we had there. So it's a different feel when you've worked for an organization, they treated you well, and then you get a chance to almost be thrown into a position to where you're helping that organization try to become a winner and playoff team, and consistently finding ways to help that organization become better. You know, it means a little more when you've already been invested in that organization previously and you get an opportunity to go back. You know, it means a lot to you.
The 49ers are trying to pair a head coach and a general manager. As a first-year coach coming in, you know, the Dolphins, you know, clearly needed kind of a culture change like the 49ers are in need of one now. What has been the key for you in working with general manager Chris Greer and executive vice president Mike Tannenbaum, and how cohesive does that work environment have to be among you guys?
I think it all started when I did do my interview and was sitting in the room, and it was not only with those two, but our ownership and our team president and a, you know, a couple other people that were involved in that interview process. You feel like there's a good closeness there. You feel like you're on the same page to start like that. And then as the year goes on, we did so much together, and there was so much dialogue that went through, you know, the entire season, off season. You know, it's just, you spend so much time together, and when you're working together and you work together well and there's constant communication, that's when you know and feel like you're all together. And that's what's happened here, to where we're around each other so much. There's great dialogue, there's constant communication, and that's what makes it to where you gives yourself a chance, because when the front office and the head coach and the organization, everybody's working towards the same thing, that's what everybody's striving to do. And I felt like Chris and Mike did such a great job of constantly communicating with me, because it's easy sometimes as the head coach to get lost in the season. And those guys were unbelievable with just communicating nonstop throughout the year and wouldn't let me get just lost in the X's and O's. It was constant dialogue. And to me, that's the key to building throughout the year and trying to get better throughout the year.
The 49ers coaching search pretty much down to one person. Do you know Kyle Shanahan at all?
Yeah, I do.
And what's your feelings on him and his readiness to be a head coach?
I've never worked with Kyle. There's a pretty good group of younger guys that we've all came in the league pretty close to around the same age and the same time, and we've all grown up together throughout the last 10, 15 years. And it's interesting to see, kind of, we were all scouting assistant, coaching assistants, you know, when we were in our early 20s, and to just see everybody kind of bounce around, and then, as you know, certain guys have elevated faster than others. And he's been a guy I've known for a long time. And, you know, you see guys at the combine, senior bowl, like I said before, you're at these functions and you see each other once or twice a year, and it's always good catching up and then getting a chance to talk football. You know, we've kind of grew up in different style of systems on offense, but at the end of the day, football is football, and there's always great conversations to have. He's really smart. You know, from the guys that we've had some cross, you know, as far as other coaches going, we've crossed up a little bit to where he's worked with certain guys I've worked with and vice versa. And I've heard nothing but great things about him as with what he knows football wise and how he goes about his day-to-day activities and work ethic. And all I've ever heard is great things about him.
You, like Kyle, you know, you guys have both, you know, risen to the head coaching ranks, or in the case of Kyle, soon to be head coaching ranks based on your play calling. How much of a challenge was it for you year one to balance, you know, how much you're going to be the offensive coordinator and run that offense with, you know, spreading your duties over the entire 53-man roster or even 63-man roster when you add on the practice squad?
It really comes down to how good is your coaching staff around you and how good your support staff is and how you can manage the game during the game and still be able to call plays. And I was really fortunate to when I did get here in Miami, our special teams coordinator and assistant special teams coach were two guys that were heavily involved in game management and were able to kind of collaborate with those two guys. And it made my life a lot easier because they were staying one step ahead on some things to where if I was calling plays, I could have discussions with them and be ready for what the possibilities of next situation coming up could be. Kind of, we had our thoughts going into certain games of how we wanted to treat certain situations, and it worked out really well for us. And we also had, you know, I had a guy who's actually my defense coordinator now, Matt Berg. He was another guy on defense that was involved in our situational football type things. And he was also someone else that was very helpful to me. So I was really lucky because I had a real strong staff that was heavily involved in what we were trying to do from week to week.
Would you have any advice to Kyle Shanahan as he moves forward with the 49ers process and dealing with, you know, the 49ers executives who are still there and how he would approach year one if indeed this situation comes to fruition?
I think the biggest thing is it's all about communication. It's all about just that constant dialogue throughout the season. It's really easy to get lost into doing your job as the head coach. But, you know, when you're all invested in the same thing and you're all striving to do the same thing and that communication is really rolling, that's when that gives you your best chance to have success. It's never guaranteed because there's so many factors that happen within the season, you know, with injuries and schedule and just all those little things that you can't really predict. But when you have great communication and you're all working towards the same thing, that's going to give you your best chance.
When you guys were 1-4 this year, what were you thinking?
Really, I think it was really frustrating for our players because we had a couple opportunities to maybe turn a couple of those games around. We didn't play as well as we wanted. We had a couple bumps in the road where we lost some key guys before certain games, and you know we didn't handle those adjustments very well. But you know, really, it was probably the best thing that happened to us because it helped build what we were trying to get towards the end of the season. And you know, we went through some adversity. Guys handled it. They came back. They kept working. They kept practicing hard. And all it took was one game. And we talked about it so much to where sometimes in this league, it just takes one really good game and it can get you rolling. One becomes two becomes three. For us, we went 6 in a row. We had a speed bump in Baltimore. And then we rattled off, you know, 3 more in a row to get us in the playoffs. So it's just that constant fight. And you just can't get caught up with, hey, we had a rough start to the season. You just keep battling and you keep trying to figure out ways to get better and correct the mistakes that you made in those games. And when things start going good, you really ride that wave because momentum really can help carry you throughout the season.
Yeah, and you guys finish with a 10-6 record, wild card, a late season win over the 49ers. Any impression of the 49ers roster?
That was a really tough game for us. They battled us really hard, especially with their defense. I know we were struggling at certain times of the game for sure to be able to run the ball. We had really run the ball well and they made it very difficult for us. That front seven was very tough for us. They did a really good job on the back end, just keeping our guys for the most part in front of them. And they challenged so many of our throws. Ryan played really well in that game, and he made some really good throws, some very tight throws. It was a very difficult game for us. We obviously came down to the last play of the game, and we felt like we were in a good position, and they kept battling, and they made it really tough for us. And when we got to the end, it was really came down to, you know, Colin had a chance to possibly either run it in or throw it in, and one of our guys ended up just making a good play. It was probably a blade of grass from them scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, Adam, just in finishing up here, can you kind of reflect a little bit now that, you know, the disappointment of not getting the 49er job, but this, the really good situation that you ended up with in Miami just a year later? And I mean, how do you kind of reconcile that or think about the things that have happened to you just in the past 2 years when it comes to, you know, moving on from coordinator to head coach?
It was a really great experience that I went through. At the time, it always looks and feels worse than probably what it is, because you're working so hard to try to do something and it doesn't turn out exactly the way you wanted. But I look back at it as that was a great experience for me, because I was able to go to Chicago. I was able to work with Jay Cutler and the guys on that offense. I was able to see Coach Fox start in an organization and start from the ground floor, which I didn't experience in Denver, because I wasn't really paying attention to as much as I was when we went to Chicago. When I was in Denver to start with Josh McDaniels, I was the wide receivers coach, so I wasn't really focused on that. When Fox came in, he kept so many guys on the staff as holdovers, and it was the lockout year, so it wasn't a true start over. And then when we went to Chicago, we legitimately started over, and there was a lot of evaluation that took place, and I was able to go through that with him. I was able to watch him have to go through and hire new coaches and interview people and go through that process, which was a great experience for me, because that's what we had to do down here. We were starting over. And for me to see that in Chicago, it really helped me a lot coming down here to Miami. And that doesn't happen if 2014 doesn't happen. So I always look at it as it, you know, everything happened for a reason, and it worked out well for me, because I was able to go through more experiences that I hadn't been through earlier in my career.
Well, Adam, hey, I really appreciate your time and setting the record straight and what happened with you and the 49ers. And I wish you continued success and a very long tenure as head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
A big thanks to Adam Gase for taking part in the 49ers Insider podcast and telling us what happened from his perspective when the 49ers a couple years ago hired Jim Tomsula over him. Adam Gase, a first-year coach with the Miami Dolphins, led the team to a 10-6 record, second playoff appearance in 15 years. And now the 49ers going through another coaching search, and all signs are pointing toward Kyle Shanahan as that man. Well, be sure to listen to all of our 49ers Insider podcasts. They're available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.